Is a tit-for-tat trade spat brewing between the EU and China? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. New provisional European Union tariffs on Chinese aluminum go into effect starting today. They'll range between 19.3 and 46%. They come after European producers complained cheaper metal imports from China were putting them out of business, as the BBC's Andrew Walker explains.
The EU has done a provisional investigation into this complaint and has come to the conclusion that, yes, these Chinese exporters were selling their products at a lower price and that it was causing damage to the European industry. So they have introduced these tariffs on a provisional basis. The investigation will continue and they will decide later in the year whether they're going to extend them for a period that could be as long as 5 years.
Andrew, could this lead to a tit-for-tat style trade spat between the EU and China, like we've seen for the last several years between the US and China?
Well, it's always possible, but I think this is significantly different from what we saw with the United States under President Trump. Anti-dumping investigations and actions like this are kind of the routine, almost day-to-day business of international trade. It might be that China takes the view that the EU hasn't done it properly, in which case there's a well-established procedure in the WTO to make a complaint. I think there are some difficulties about WTO functioning at the moment, it must be said. What we saw under President Trump was some really quite unusual measures taken using some much less routine used powers in United States legislation. So I would be surprised if this were the start of anything remotely like what we saw under the previous US administration.
And is it likely to have an overall impact on China's aluminum production and the price at which it sells it to other countries?
This is something that Chinese exporters face quite a lot of, actually. So it may well be that they decide to increase the prices they're charging into European market. But I don't see this as being likely to lead to any fundamental change. If you look at the European Union's investigation, they spend a lot of time looking at how they believe the Chinese authorities distort the economy so that prices are frequently artificially depressed. You know, that's a widely held view outside China of the way the economy is run there. And it's a complaint that's shared by the European Union and a lot of other countries.
The BBC's Andrew Walker, thanks for digging into this for us.
My pleasure, Victoria.
Checking the numbers now, global stock benchmarks are moving slightly higher as investors parse a slew of new trade figures today. In China, imports rose at their fastest pace in 4 years. Here in the UK, data showed trade between the UK and the European Union partially rebounded in February after a January plunge. That's as companies continued to find their way around new post-Brexit trading rules. And cryptocurrency Bitcoin has hit another fresh record of $62,741. To Northern Ireland now, where violent protests have gripped the region for almost 2 weeks. That's the sound of rioting, which has involved children as young as 12 throwing bricks, fireworks, and petrol bombs at lines of police officers and vehicles. In the last week, 90 officers have been injured. This unrest relates back to Brexit. And today, a court in Belfast will decide whether to hear a legal challenge to the Northern Ireland Protocol. That was part of the UK's Brexit deal that imposed trade barriers between the region and the rest of Britain to allow trade to continue seamlessly on the island of Ireland. The BBC's John Campbell has more on that story from Belfast.
Basically, you have unionists who are one of the main political groupings in Northern Ireland. At the core of their politics is the desire to remain part of the United Kingdom and to resist any attempt to reunite with the other part of Ireland, the Republic of Ireland. They want a judge to rule the Brexit deal for Northern Ireland would be unconstitutional, and then they hope that would force the UK government to go and renegotiate it. And what they are trying to argue is that the Brexit deal breaches the Good Friday Agreement peace accord because it changes Northern Ireland's constitutional position without the consent of a vote, and they also says it breaches a much older law known as the Act of Union, which says there shouldn't be any customs borders within the UK.
So some of this comes down to Brexit barriers, some is long simmering tensions there. Regardless, though, some are concerned about the real economic impact that this recent violence can have, aren't they?
Yeah, it's been a real roller coaster 3 months or so for the Northern Ireland economy. So you have Brexit, which has made it much more difficult for businesses in Northern Ireland and consumers to import products from the rest of the United Kingdom. Although some of those difficulties are now easing. You know, the COVID restrictions are still here, though they're starting to ease now as well. But the street violence that we have seen in recent weeks is damaging, I think, particularly for the local tourism industry. And I think many tourism businesses in Northern Ireland would have been hoping this summer to say, well, there might not be international travel, so we will attract a lot of business from the Republic of Ireland, from south of the border. But that now might become more difficult because people will look at what's happened in recent weeks and think, is there a risk for us to travel north of the border?
So what's likely to happen next then? I mean, can a court ruling sort of soothe some of these tensions?
I don't think the court ruling in itself would do very much. Really, what we're looking at is what the UK and the EU can do to try and simplify the impact of the Brexit deal on the ground in Northern Ireland. And there have been some more optimistic noises coming from Brussels, although there is nothing imminent. The politics of it, though, are still very, very difficult because we're into an election cycle now. The unionist parties have all said that they want to see the Northern Ireland Brexit deal go completely, and it's going to be very difficult for them to walk that back. They won't want to seem like they've done a U-turn. The way the politics fit together both locally and also on the kind of regional European basis is actually quite difficult.
And as you've been hearing, John, these are issues that US politicians are also paying attention to.
We know that Joe Biden and the people around him have taken a deep interest in the Northern Ireland peace process. And I understand some congressmen, some senators have actually been speaking to local businesses in Northern Ireland just in the last couple of weeks, working out other ways that they could help. And I was speaking to a business leader last night who says if it was not for the pandemic, they're pretty clear that there would be a congressional delegation on its way to Northern Ireland. And there is still a good chance that when travel opens up, we could see US politicians in Northern Ireland talking to local businesses, local politicians, to see what it is they can do to try and ease this situation.
So much to unpack here. The BBC's John Campbell for us in Belfast. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you very much.
Finally today, Reuters is poised to appoint its first woman editor-in-chief in the news agency's 170-year history. Alessandra Galloni is taking the reins from Stephen Adler, who's retiring after a decade at the helm. Ms. Galloni most recently served as a global managing editor at the news service and previously spent 13 years at the Wall Street Journal, where she specialized in economics and business coverage. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.